The second volume of Pope Benedict XVI's book series, Jesus of Nazareth, will be released next week. The work will cover the Holy Week period from Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to the resurrection. The book looks at much of the scholarship on this period of the life of Jesus, and the Holy Father has said people are free to disagree with his views on these scholarly debates. Charles Collins spoke with American Catholic author and editor Amy Wellborn about the book.
I think it's a wonderful book. I'm a big fan of Pope Benedict's writing anyway. His theological writing has helped me a great deal. It's just very illuminating, and he writes with such clarity. And I have found this book to be consistent with all of that, perfectly consistent with that. And I think when comparing it to the first volume, the first volume was excellent, of course, but it dealt with a wider range of subjects. But because this one is more focused on, you know, the matters of Holy Week and the events of Holy Week and the Passion and Resurrection of Jesus, it even has more power and more force. And it's a very consistent kind of argument, if you will, that brings together everything the Pope has been saying in his theological writing for 60 years.
Now, the sections that have been released, so to speak, the ones that you're allowed mm-hmm. to talk about, can you tell us a little bit more about them? They are The Mystery of the Betrayer, The Dating of the Last Supper, and Jesus Before Pilate.
Yes, these three sections have been released for discussion. The Mystery of the Betrayer deals with the matter of Judas, of course, and the question of why did Judas betray Jesus, and sort of the role of Judas in salvation history, that great mystery. It's, a great mystery that puzzles us and has puzzled theologians for centuries. And what the Holy Father does in this section is very interesting. He deals with all those questions. But what interests me is that he also does what he does so often in his writing and his speaking about these matters, is that he turns it around and he forces us to look at ourselves in the mirror, or invites us to look at ourselves in the mirror. And that, you know, it's easy for us to look at Judas and say, this person who is so unlike me, did this terrible thing. And to sort of put Judas in a box in which we can not see ourselves reflected in that. But the Holy Father invites us in a sort of tragic way to see ourselves in Judas, to question ourselves in light of Judas. He, for example, looks at what Judas does in the context of the Last Supper, that first Eucharistic meal, and he says, you know, in this moment, in Judas's betrayal of Jesus during a Eucharistic, or, you know, in this context of Eucharistic meal and so on, what we see is the whole history of the body of Christ, of Jesus's disciples, in which those of us who dwell with Jesus, who receive him, who are united with him in his Eucharist, betray him. And this is, you know, of course, something that the Holy Father never turns away from insisting that we see. His famous writings of the Stations of the Cross that he wrote for the Colosseum in 2005, right before John Paul II died, touch on this theme. You know, he doesn't shy away from insisting that all of us, look at ourselves to see how closely we cleave to Christ, and whether to not put ourselves apart, and to not put ourselves in a position of sanctity that we don't deserve.
Now, the dating of the Last Supper, this is one of those ones that people often say this is a something for scholars to argue about, that no real Christian should really care that much. Why do you think that this was one of the few sections that they released for discussion?
Well, I couldn't say. I mean, I don't know what would motivate that. I mean, I think it's an interesting discussion, but I think that it does affect people because, of course, this is not some obscure element of difference in the scriptures. Anybody who can read the Bible, who can read the synoptics, and who can read John can pick up on this difference in that the synoptics identify the Last Supper meal as the Passover meal, the Seder, and while John very specifically says it is not. And so from that perspective, from the perspective of anyone, any believer who reads the scriptures and sort of wonders, well, what do those differences say about the truth of the scriptures and the truth of the rest of what I'm reading? First of all, it's important. And secondly, it's important in terms of our understanding of the Eucharist, in terms of Jesus' sacrifice and its relationship to Jewish tradition and also in its impact on us today. I think it's an interesting question. And I think it's also perhaps been released because, it shows the Holy Father's interaction with scholarly opinions on this and scholarly views on this, and how he, has this gift of sort of, taking all of that, looking at it dispassionately, examining it on its merits, on the evidence, and so on, as any scholar would, and then digging even deeper and inviting us to see the theological import and the spiritual takeaway, if you will, which is, in this case, he comes down on the side that would say that John's chronology reflects reality, and that what happened is that, without going into all the details, the important takeaway for us is that Jesus's crucifixion occurred on the Passover, and occurred when the lambs were being led to the slaughter for the Passover meal, which, of course, is of profound theological importance and provides a lot of fruit for meditation and prayer.
And the third is Jesus before Pilate. Of course, when we think about Holy Week, when we think about Good Friday from Palm Sunday, also the Good Friday liturgy, this encounter is one of the most significant in the scriptures, in the liturgy itself. What did you take away from that?
It's fascinating. It's a lengthy section. It's the lengthiest section they allowed for to go beyond the embargo. And it's interesting because, again, the Holy Father's treatment of this issue and that salient question that Pilate asks, what is truth, reflects a great deal of the Holy Father's lifelong interests in issues of truth and relativism and so on, which is the direction in which he takes it in. I mean, he examines the nature of the trial and the interrelationship of the various forces of the Jewish leadership and so on, and the Roman imperial power. But then he again brings it all down to this sort of vital theological and spiritual issue of what is truth. And he explores it in relationship to culture and society and government, which he has done. Anyone who pays attention knows that this is something that the Holy Father pays a lot of attention to, which is the whole issue of how do we as communities, as cultures, as societies, organize ourselves in relationship to truth? What is the criterion for our existence and our decisions and so on? And that's exactly the question that Pilate is confronted with. Is the criterion for his decision, is it earthly power, or is it this mysterious kind of shocking new kingdom that Jesus, declares and has no trouble affirming that he is the king of? And so, from that perspective, and this is also the section in which the Holy Father looks at the whole issue of responsibility for the crucifixion of Jesus. And, what he says, may have garnered headlines, but of course there's no reason for it to, because his assertions about the respective responsibility that this, the crucifixion of Jesus, not lying, of course, with the Jewish people as a whole, is not anything that's new in Catholic thought, and so for the past half century, and so that's garnered the headlines. But I think what's even more important and what's more interesting is are his explorations of the whole issue of truth in our personal lives and then as in relationship to us as members of the human community.
The Holy Father, of course, is the second book in his series. This is a series that he was going to write even before his pontificate. He was planning on writing these books. What does it do for you to have a pope write a book like this? At the same time, in his introduction to the last book, he said, hey, feel free to disagree with me on this. I'm just working as a scholar, as a believer. What's the significance of a pope writing a series of works like this?
I think it's very significant, and it's a matter of some controversy. I mean, there are people who believe that a pope shouldn't be doing things like this, that he should set his personal scholarly interests aside, that he should not be doing interview books and all of that kind of thing. But, I think that, the Holy Father trusts us and trusts the Church to be able to discern the difference between magisterial pronouncements and even, official teaching from the chair and theological and scholarly efforts. I also think he thinks it's important, obviously, if you read any of the books, if you read anything that he says, that, he is using this moment to help, I think, resituate the relationship of scholarship, both scripture scholarship and theology, to the community of faith. He is very upfront about the toll and the price that we've paid as a church for the sort of incorrect positioning of these disciplines in relationship to faith, and the ways that they have been used, that say historical critical scholarship has been used in order to drive a wedge actually between people, Christians, and Jesus, rather than bring us to greater understanding. And so that is, the focus of his work, and which is to, bring the reader, whether that reader be already in the church, whether it be outside the church, to a closer relationship with Christ, using the tools of contemporary scholarship and theology in the way that they should be, which is a service, as he points out, of the truth.